May the Lord help us to worship him this evening with hymn number 28, 2-8. Blessed Spirit of Truth, Eternal God, thou meek and lowly dove, who fills the soul through Jesus' blood with faith and hope and love. Hymn number 28.
Thank you. together this evening in God's holy word from the Gospel according to Luke and part of chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we will begin at verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud, and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, you do help us now rightly to call upon thy holy name. Lord, teach us for what to pray and how. Lord, do give each one of us a spirit of real prayer, prayer indicted from above, that prayer in faith, believing that thou art able to do more than we can ask or think. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, may we see something of thy greatness and thy majesty and thy power. Lord, may we see something of our insufficiency, our sinfulness, our wretchedness. But Lord, to see that thou hast said, Thou wilt hear the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. There is that loving welcome for all those who are brought to feel their need, to bring their hard questions and their hard cases to the King of Kings. So, Lord, we do thank thee that there yet is room before the throne of grace, and room for the poor guilty sinners. Lord, do then give us each a heart to pray. Lord, may we not limit thee. May we not, Lord, be left to waver, but Lord, to pour out our heart unto thee. We do thank thee for all thy many mercies, for thy mercies through another day. Lord, we are surrounded by thy goodness and the provision for all of our needs. Lord, we have so much, and we are not worthy of the least of all the mercy. Lord, keep us from ingratitude, taking thy goodness to us for granted. Lord, may we each have a truly thankful heart for the blessings of thy grace, and to be thankful for thy word, to be thankful for thy house, and Lord, thankful that we can gather together to consider thy word, that we have it freely available and faithfully translated. Lord, we do pray that thy word might be a living word, a light to us, even this evening. Lord, may there be a word in season for one that is weary. Lord, may there be something that is applied by the Holy Spirit that will enter into a heart prepared of thee, bring forth fruit to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, we do pray that there might be something for us. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty, send us not away. Lord, may there be that feeding upon thy word. Lord, we do pray for each gathered here this evening, and those who are not able to be here and may be listening in. Lord, we pray for each one where they are. And all those who are bowed down with sin and sorrow, as we've sung, those who come into thy house or listen in with a heavy heart. Lord God, thou knowest. Lord, our lives, minutest circumstance, is subject to thine eye. Lord, we do not come into these times in our lives by chance. Lord, we do pray for those who are sad, those who are cast out, those who have those inward griefs and sorrows. Especially we pray for Mr. David Parish in his need. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt draw near and speak peace into his heart. May he have that good hope that he is upon that rock foundation, which is Christ. And is he a rock? How firm he proves. The rock of ages never moves. We pray for each of the family in this shock and sorrow at this time. We do draw near and comfort each heart. Others, Lord, who may be afflicted, You may have difficulties, hard cases, the long drawn out trials and difficulties. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt draw near. May there be that feeling of one, a brother, born for adversity. One who was in affliction, in temptation and trouble. Lord, may there be a little fellowship with the Lord Jesus in his sufferings. That one who had not where to lay his head. Lord, we pray for any who may have a particular difficulty, a burden as they come to this service. Lord, seeking thee, seeking thy direction, seeking deliverance, seeking your help by the way. Lord, do appear for them, we pray. You touch the mountain and it shall smoke. We do pray for each of the children and the young people. We thank thee for them. We thank thee they're able to come out to thy house in the week, and do bless them in their coming. And Lord, may there be that in which they can understand, that which will be applied to their hearts. And Lord, thou hast said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. And we have read of thy words to the little ones, the young ones. We pray for those who are not able to be out, and those at home, and those looking after them. Lord, do remember them there. Do watch over them and keep them. Be a wall of fire round about them. May they be brought to seek thee whilst thou mayest be found. We pray for those bearing the heat and burden of the day and many responsibilities in various ways and the trials of life and the busy scenes. Lord, help us each to wait upon thee. Lord, ever to remember that we may have many things, and we may be cumbered about with them, but only one thing is needful. Lord, help us to stand still and consider that we are not here forever, and those things that may rightly take our time are but for a moment in the light of eternity. We pray that each of us, whatever our age, might have that solemn realization that a vast eternity is near. And we are standing on the brink. And we have those reminders that the old must die and the young may die. And Lord, we do pray that there might be that preparation, the right preparation for eternity. Prepare to meet thy God. Lord, prepare us each. We cannot prepare ourselves. Lord, do make us right and make us ready. We pray for those in older years, those who perhaps feel the infirmities of age, cannot do what they once could. Those who may be lonely, those who may be weak. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt draw near. Lord, we do pray for thy blessing in this church and congregation here. We bless the labours of thy servants who preach here. We do pray that there might yet be that effect. There might be those compelled to come in. And all that there might be those who may have halted between two opinions. Yeah, but that time comes when they must follow thee. Those who may, as we have just read, have said, Lord, I will follow thee, but you were made willing in the day of thy power. Lord, we do pray that it might be so. Lord, may this be the glad hour. May there be many wrought upon by thy Spirit who will say, come and hear, all ye that fear God. I'll declare what he hath done for my soul. We pray for any who may be unconcerned and indifferent and would put these things off for another time, not knowing what a moment of our lives might bring forth. Lord, do stir up their nests. May there be that right concern. Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Do pray for our friends, the deacons, and help them, Lord, in their responsibilities. And do bless them and encourage them and give them all that they need. And we do pray, Lord, that there might be those gathered in, if it could please thee, from this village and the surrounding area. Those who are given that hunger and thirst. Those who are awakened to see their need. Those who are struck, Lord, by the text outside. Lord, we do pray that these things might have a voice to many hearts, and that thy work might appear. We do pray for each house of prayer in this land and throughout the world, wherever thy people gather, wherever thy word is faithfully preached. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt look down from heaven and visit thy vine and do apply thy word to many hearts. Awaken many to see their need. And those who reject thee, even thy nation, the Jewish nation, Lord, we do pray that their eyes might be opened to see that the Son of God is come. We think of the situation in our country and throughout the world, and how much confusion and wickedness and trouble and war there is. And we have blind leaders of the blind, and we have fallen in the ditch. Lord, we do pray that thou would look in mercy upon us. Send a real spiritual revival, we pray, and turn many hearts unto thee. Send out more labourers into thy harvest. Lord, as we read, but go thou and preach the gospel. We pray that there might be those, Lord, even from this place, if it be thy will, thrust out to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, Lord, do help us as we turn to thy word. Do open it up to us each. Keep us from grieving thee. Keep the door of our lips. Lord, we do pray that there might be that which shall enter and remain. Thou hast said, blessed are they which hear my word and keep it. We pray, Lord, that it might be so. Can you forgive us for our poor prayers? Can you forgive us for our many sins? Can you wash us in that fountain opened for unclean sinners? We ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 394. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat, yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Hymn number 394.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for his help, I would ask you to turn this evening to the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, we'll read part of verse 7. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. In this word we have what we might call the determination of Christ. The determination of Christ that he would, as we read in Luke chapter 9, go up to Jerusalem, that he might there lay down his life. And this which is spoken in prophecy here in Isaiah, in this beautiful book, as it sets forth Christ, it here sets forth this determination that he might lay down his life for his friends. It's very clear that these words are written concerning the Lord Jesus. Right through this chapter, there are these words of the Lord Jesus concerning his work of salvation, concerning that which was to be accomplished, concerning his death. And here he says, the Lord God, verse 5, have opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. The Lord God have given me, my Father have given me to hear of his will, to hear of his command, and I was not rebellious. Neither turned away back. He didn't flinch from that deep, deep pathway that was before him. But he set his face like a flint. And the Word of God uses this comparison to speak of that which is determined, that strong resolve. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 3, you find that comparison of one whose face is hardened like a flint, one who is determined, one who, as it says, is like an adamant stone. Well, we know what it is to be adamant, to be resolute, to be firm, to be unwavering, not to be put off our purpose. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, says the Lord Jesus. I have set my face like an adamant stone, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And I believe these words that we have for our text was what Luke had in mind when he wrote that 51st verse of Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Steadfastly. But when that time was come, first he had that perfect, pure life to walk out here on this earth. And there were those times when there were his enemies, they sought to destroy him. They sought to kill him, but they could not, because his time was not yet come. But that time did come, that time that the Lord Jesus, with a holy anticipation, had set his face for. It was his settled purpose, in love and obedience to his Father, and in love to each one of his people, that he might walk this way up to Jerusalem and then to Calvary. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And perhaps you noticed in those verses we read, it came in a few times, the determination of the Lord Jesus, beginning before where we started the reading in verse 22. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things. It was necessary for the Lord Jesus to suffer. It behoved Christ to suffer, to endure many things. Well, we read these things very quickly. You think of the many things that the Lord Jesus had to endure. He suffered many things. He was rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain. The Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man must be rejected. The Son of Man must be slain. It was necessary for that work of salvation to be completed, necessary for an end of sin to be entirely made, necessary for a way to heaven to be made, necessary for that to be fulfilled, the desire of the Lord Jesus, Father, I will, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. He must needs suffer. He must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be slain. But praise God, he must be raised the third day also. Vain the stone, the watch, and the seal. Christ hath burst the gates of hell. That little word must. The vital emphasis here, of that which was before the Lord Jesus at that time. And then we read in verse 31, when the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus, there was that Moses and Elias appeared in glory and spake of his decease. And perhaps these words seem strange to us. His decease which he should accomplish. When we speak of a decease, we perhaps don't speak of it as something that is accomplished. But here it is something that must be done. A life, a perfect life that must be laid down. His decease. Really, in the original, as I understand it, this word speaks of an exodus, a departure, his departure that he must accomplish at Jerusalem, his departure from this world of sin, his departure to be back in heaven with his heavenly Father, having laid down his life, that which he should accomplish, that which he should complete. And so, again, we read in this chapter of the Lord Jesus and his resolve. The Son of Man, verse 44, shall be delivered. Let these sayings sink down in your ears, says the Lord Jesus. Consider what I've said to you. Think carefully on what I've said. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. So we notice in the suffering of the Lord Jesus as he came down towards his death, there were those who delivered him up. It was his settled purpose, it was his determination that he should lay down his life. It was the will of his Father that he should lay down his life. It does not excuse Judas Iscariot for betraying him. It does not excuse Pontius Pilate for delivering him to be crucified, having said, I find no fault in him. And yet it was the holy will, the perfect will of Almighty God, that these things should take place. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not with him also freely give us all things? You think of it, the great deliverer himself, delivered up, and delivered up for sinners. He shall be delivered. He must suffer, he must be rejected, he must be slain, he must be raised. And so these things, the Lord Jesus, seeing what was before him, he was not, and I want to speak very carefully and reverently, he was not unaware of the suffering that he would endure. He knew what he would face. And yet he set his face as a flint. And we will notice with the Lord's help this test, the various tests of this resolve of the Lord Jesus. He set his face as a flint. But he was tested. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And did you notice, as we read in the verses following, they entered into a village to make ready for the Lord Jesus. And they did not receive him, because it was obvious, it was evident, that he had Jerusalem on his mind. He was determined to go up to Jerusalem. It was obvious by his face, by his countenance, his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. His mind was upon that which was before him, that which was to be accomplished, that which was to be wrought out. And just briefly, the disciples, they said, shall we command fire to consume these who have not received thee, Lord? He says, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The Son of Man is not come to destroy, but to save. And they went to another village. His face was as a flint. His face was determined, his face was fixed upon Jerusalem, with all that it meant, with all that he knew was to be before him. He still had his face, it was set as a flint, unflinching. And so it was to be. My mind goes to what we read of in, was it the day of Pentecost, when the apostle was speaking, Peter was speaking of these things, in the Lord Jesus. This Jesus whom ye have crucified, made both Lord and Christ. He says this, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And so these things set before us, this determination that the Lord must suffer these things, that he must go up to Jerusalem, that he must leave the lands around Galilee, and he must go up to Judea, he must go up to Jerusalem. He had that solemn yet sacred appointment, as he would walk in that way that was appointed, to lay down his life, a sacrifice, a willing sacrifice. You think of the willingness of the Lord Jesus to go up to Jerusalem, knowing all that was before him, yet still he set his face as a flint. Not only determined, but willing. Willing to go. How encouraged I was with the first hymn that we sung, hymn 28. The Father sent the Son to die. The willing Son obeyed. He obeyed. He was willing to go. And so we see these things in his willingness. We have it in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. I say this very carefully and kindly. We at times may feel to be oppressed. We at times may feel to be afflicted. We may be afflicted. We will be afflicted. But I hope you'll understand me when I say we don't know a small part of what the Lord Jesus knew. And when we are oppressed and when we are afflicted, is there not often that murmuring and a grumbling and a complaining? But he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He did not fight back. I want to speak so reverently and carefully, but he didn't kick against those who took him, who condemned him to death. He said in those disciples how they tested this resolve, and they said, Lord, one of them cut off the ear of Malchus, and they thought they could do all these things to help. And the Lord Jesus says, thus it must be. The scripture must be fulfilled. I am determined to go. Put your sword back into your sheath. There's nothing for you to do. And that way is appointed for me. He has engaged. and he must go through. And he goes willingly. He goes as a lamb to the slaughter, not opening so much as his mouth, not a word of complaining. When he said, I could command 12 legions of angels to come and deliver me out of this hour. But how then would the scripture be fulfilled? That thus it must be. How willing was Jesus to die? That we, fellow sinners, might live. This is what we have. Behind, if you will, the willingness, the determination of Christ. The everlasting love. To every one of his people, that he might deliver them from the power of death, from the wiles of the devil, that he might deliver them out of a deserved hell, that he might give them that everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall bear their iniquities. You think of this little word, shall. It's a big little word. It speaks to us of divine certainties. He shall. He will. He must bear their iniquities. It is appointed for him to pour out his soul unto death. It is appointed for him to be numbered with the transgressors, to bear the sin of many, to make intercession for the transgressors. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. In the previous verse, chapter 50, verse 6, we have this, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So it was to be as he came to the judgment hall, as he came down to his death. Those who cruelly smote him, those who cruelly plucked off the hair, those who cruelly spat upon him, that one who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And he set his face as a flint. He was unmoved, unperturbed by all these who dealt so cruelly with him. He was not turned back by that power and ability that he had to deliver him out of that hour, to call those many legions of angels. He set his face like a flint. For the Lord God will help me. That one who said, this is my beloved Son. We read of it, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased with the obedience of the Son of God. his determination to go, to lay down his life, well pleased with that sacrifice. There we have it, if I can find it, those words of the Lord Jesus, all concerning the Lord Jesus, I think in Hebrews, where after these things were in their appointment, we read of the offering up of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And we read that he offered up himself. Well, as you know, so much of the Hebrews is setting forth a better sacrifice, better things than that of Abel, better things than the Levitical law, a better, a surety of a better testament. And this high priest, for such an high priest, it became us. You know how that high priest had to go in once a year, not without blood, to make an atonement for sin, to make an offering for sin, first for his own sin, and then for the people. Once every year, year after year. But Christ, this he did once, when he offered up himself. This man, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He set his face as a flint for uttermost sinners. He set his face as a flint for the chief of sinners. For such an high priest became us. Such an high priest is suitable for us. Such an high priest is just what we need. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. Before this he did once, when he offered up himself, and willingly offered up himself, willingly laid down his life, willingly shed his own heart's blood, willingly endured the shame and the spitting, willingly gave his back to the smiters. This he did once, when he offered up himself. And so these things we read in Hebrews chapter 7, and also similar things in this epistle, of how the necessity of that sacrifice, it was necessary that blood must be shed, for without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. These things that were spoken of in prophecy. We spoke of the Exodus, the decease, the departure of the Lord Jesus. We think of the Exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. What took place before they were delivered out of bondage. The lamb was slain, the blood was shed, and sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so it is. It sets before us here the determination of the Lord Jesus to make that way of salvation, to bear the curse for his sinful people. As it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, being made a curse, bearing upon himself all of the sins of all of his people, that he might forever put them away, that he might make an end of them, that he might cast them behind his back, that all those sins might be washed away through that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. There's another word that sets before us that which must take place in that day. There shall be a fountain opened, the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And so it was in that day when the Lord Jesus set his face to go up to Jerusalem, that he might lay down his life, that he might open that fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I shall not be confounded. He was tested by the rejection of his own nation, the Jews. He turned their back upon him. What do we read of in the first few verses of chapter 50? Their rejection. The Jews and the rejection of the Lord Jesus. They sold themselves. Wherefore when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? A solemn thing, if it's so with any of us, to reject these things, to reject his word, to reject his voice, to say we have no need of these things. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, in spite of the rejection, in spite of this test? His determination was not hindered. He was unwavering. He was fixed that he might go to deliver, to redeem his people. Or have I no power to deliver? And so the Lord Jesus speaks of his power over the earth, over creation. But he says, there are those who will hear my voice. There are those who have been brought to feel their need of me, the Saviour. And I should speak a word in season to them. And then he speaks of those things that would take place, as we've noticed. This test for the Lord Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But I have set my face, he says, like a flint. And all these others that mocked, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests and all of the others, their cruel words, their testing, the assaults of Satan, who went into an high mountain apart to pray, and Satan came and tempted him. But he did not flinch under the fierce temptation of Satan. He had that way before him. He had that perfect life to be walked out, that he might lay down his life as a lamb without blemish and without spot, a sacrifice for his people. He says in another place, which really speaks to us again of his determination, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? It's that word accomplished. It was that which had to be done, that which must be done. And he was straightened. His attention, if we can use that word rightly, was fixed upon, that work of salvation that he came for, and that which he knew was before him in the laying down of his life. Over baptism to be baptized with, it speaks to us of his death. He knew that he would one day be laid in the grave. Over baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? And so we think of the life of the Lord Jesus and all those wonderful works of his on this earth. But under it all there was this: he was straitened, he was resolved, his purpose was fixed upon that time when he would lay down his life, a sacrifice. Therefore, if I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed, he had the sustaining of his heavenly Father in all those tests, as he was bowed down under the weight of the sorrows, the wrath of God that he would endure. We think of the Garden of Gethsemane, and in the depth of his agony, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He set his face as a flint. He was determined, even under such unimaginable load as the Lord Jesus endured in the garden, even there, the hiding of his Father's face, he was determined. He has engaged. He must go through. If the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. He would not be put to shame. His sufferings would not be in vain. But it would be for the salvation of a multitude which no man can number. It would be to at last gather every one of his people, to be with him in heaven, in those mansions that he has prepared. I shall not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So we have this determination of the Lord Jesus. We have this fixed resolve of Christ to suffer, to bleed, and to die. Well, many aspects to the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. But may it be for each one of us to have that good hope through grace, that all this was done for you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 948. 948. What is this world to me? This world is not my home. A scene of pain, of grief and woe. When will my Saviour come? Hymn 948.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us all. Amen.